Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. This is episode number 5. What's the name of this episode?
We haven't even come up with a name yet. We'll figure it out post-production.
I got it. Uh-oh. Episode 5, Kiss My Yellow Hairy Podcast.
Are you sick?
I think so.
When gingers are sick, they turn yellow?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's a reason we're turning yellow this week.
Yes!
You know, there's a show that comes on, it's been coming on for, 26 years?
We're going on 26, we started in 26.
Yes. The Simpsons.
Yes.
Yes. but before we get into deep talk about Simpsons, I do always have to, thank our listeners.
Yes.
For tuning in and hearing us, me and Chris, more or less me than you, but...
Yeah. More you than me.
Yeah.
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 You can find us on popculturerewind.podbean.com.
Yes.
You can keep up with us on Facebook at facebook.com/popculturerewind.
Yes.
And you can also tweet with us at our Twitter page, which is...
PopcultureRWND. You give me that look because you know you don't know it's still the missing letters.
I'll get it one of these days. I know I will. But anyway, you can also send us an email if you want to send us suggestions on episodes, or if you want to complain about Chris. I totally understand. That's popculturerewind@gmail.com.
Yes.
You can also find us, all these episodes, through iTunes.
Yes.
Do a search for Pop Culture Rewind. If you do that through iTunes, be sure to leave a review, click the subscribe button, let us know how we're doing on that. If you're the other two or three listeners that listen to us on Stitcher...
You're welcome.
You do the same thing with that. Or give us a like or a thumbs up or subscribe or whatever you do on Stitcher to make us look good. So, again, I am Travis.
And I am Chris.
Yes. And like I said, thanks again for tuning in this week. And we are, like I said, we're going to be talking about Simpsons.
Yes.
Not these other shows, not these other cartoons that try to be Simpsons. We're going to be talking about The Simpsons. Simpsons. Yes. When did you start watching Simpsons?
Oh, I have vivid memories being a kid. My sister and my dad liked watching the Tracy Ullman show.
Okay, yeah.
So there were a skit show on the Tracy Ullman show. And I didn't understand it. I just saw that it was not Hanna-Barbera, Warner Brothers stuff I used to watch when I was a kid. It looked different. And it had me from the very beginning. That's my fondest memory of it.
Yeah,
I can't go into
it's
detail.
Funny. It's funny you should mention Tracy Ullman because I mean that's it was weird because Tracy Ullman was just a weird oddball show, and they just tacked on The Simpsons before it was Simpsons really with a lot more crude animation. It was just something that they were doing for fun. They tacked it on the end of the episode as like a little skit here. To close out the show, I guess, really. And that just kind of... It got more and more popular. And then it got the green light from a newly christened network called Fox.
Mm-hmm. On Fox!
So, and the rest, as they say, is history, pretty much.
Yeah.
It never really went anywhere. It changed a lot of time slots, though. It would go from, what, Sundays to Thursdays... No, it was
Thursdays, I think, and then it went to Sundays.
Yeah.
And that's where it's been.
Yeah.
Forever.
So I guess it only changed once.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's always been on the same home to them as Fox, and they've made no bones about making fun of Fox throughout the whole... But, you know, they just celebrated their 26th season premiere. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yes! It was good. I liked it. Another death in the Simpsons character family, Krusty's dad. I liked where it was going. A lot of it was pretty good. It's just weird. 26 seasons.
Yeah.
Ask a lot of episodes. It's hard to make it interesting after a while. So the funeral stuff, kind of an interesting take on how to refresh, get people's attention again.
What did you think about the couch gag on the premiere?
Man.
That was there. I didn't know. I was looking forward to it because it started out kind of promising, but they just kind of went out there. To me, honestly, I didn't dig it, but maybe there was an inside thing that I didn't understand.
A lot lately with underground artists like Bansky and a bunch of other guys and movie directors and art, cartoon directors that get the green light, as you would say, to have that skit done. It was out there, but it stood out to me as opposed to some of the older couch gags that after a while, through some of the middle of the seasons, they kept repeating the same couch gag. Like, I can't remember. There must have been at least 8 episodes that opened up the couch gag with the couch turning into, like, the carnival or the stage and everybody's dancing and everything like that. It's like, after a while,
are called reruns, Chris.
Yeah, reruns. Which there are plenty of, if anybody's been watching FXX lately.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. I'm not going to say I liked it, but it kept my attention. I need to watch it a few more times to kind of understand what it was. Like,
if there is a meaning to it.
If there's a future. Like, that's what that would have been like eons from now. Like, oh,
yeah, they had all different numbers and lettering and all kinds of different stuff for that. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, so besides that, yeah, you know, like you mentioned, they had the death of Krusty's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Eh.
Eh.
Which is suitable, I guess, for them. you know, 26 seasons. We mentioned earlier, going back here, to earliest moments, earliest memories. We just mentioned their start on Tracy Ullman, getting their own series. And that was special in itself because I don't want to say the first, but it's got to be one of the first primetime animation.
To my knowledge, yeah.
TV shows, not cartoons, but TV shows.
Animated television sitcom.
Yeah. And it kind of gave more. I think it made more Fox more infamous because they had Married with Children, which is already off the radar for,
yeah,
I guess, conservative TV listeners or viewers, whatever. And then now they got The Simpsons, with at the time Bart as a character was
for its time,
yeah,
was pushing it,
yeah.
Because we were very conservative back in the day. Old families and parents were very conservative. I remember a couple of times my mom's like, "You sure you don't want to be watching that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm sure."
Yes, I'm sure.
And then she pulled the plug.
Once you said, "Yes, I'm sure," that's when she's like, "Okay, then no, you're not going to watch it." But that stayed the course for a while as far as, you know, primetime animation goes. A lot of changes throughout the years, definitely, just the animation style and the designs of some of the characters. One aspect is they would always bring celebrities in.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's, especially in the earlier seasons, it wasn't really a big deal. When it was just like, oh, hey, there's this, you know, this guy did a voice for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
I think later on it became more of a, I don't want to say hot topic, but it was just something, that people, like celebrities wanted to go to Simpsons. Like they, you know, they weren't nothing until they did a guest voice on The Simpsons. What's one of the earliest celebrity voices that you remember?
Ah, Phil Hartman.
Yes, okay. I'm glad you said that. Yeah.
Hello, I'm Troy McClure. You may remember me from such podcasts as Houston Wrestling Radio and Pop Goes the Culture.
Yes, that one too, yes. but yeah, that Phil Hartman, definitely, bar none, that's like the first celebrity I think of right away. Yeah. What are some other memorable celebrities that you can think of?
Oh, Lord. I think the memorable ones for me have to be the ones that actually had a character with reoccurring roles. The next one would be Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, yeah.
Sideshow Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
He
nailed it on that, too.
Oh, my God, yeah. He sounds like a cool guy, but his voice with the right character sounds like an asshole.
Or just a very
menacing.
Yeah, menacing villain. Yeah. The power of your voice, the power of audio, right?
What pops up in your head is when you think celebrity?
Dude, I got to go with the same one. Because there was a lot of like one-offs here and there. Yeah, there's so many of them, but them two as recurring. What are some other recurring celebrities?
That's a good one, because just like a lot of the Simpsons voice and characters, where one person does four or five different voices. Phil Hartman did Troy McClure. Phil Hartman did Lionel Hutz, Attorney at Law. He, I think he did one other one. Or maybe that's just escaping.
You know another one that comes to mind? Danny DeVito is Homer's brother.
Yes! He was there for two... He was there for the first episode where he had the car company, then Homer ruined it to the ground. And then the second episode, like a couple of seasons later, where he tries to win back his wealth by creating a device that tells babies' languages what they're saying just by the...
Yeah, some other voices that I'm thinking of. John Lovitz, he did some voices. We're gonna get to him in here in a minute because there's something else that spawned off of that. Joe Mantegna, Fat Tony.
Yeah. Fat Tony, I forgot about Fat Tony.
You forgot about Fat Tony? Really? I can't believe you forgot about Fat Tony. Anyway, there's been some other, I guess, successes that's come out of the show, other than just the animation, the fact that it's been on for going on 26 years now, 26 seasons. Some of the writers have gone into some other notoriety. The first one that pops in my mind is Conan O'Brien.
Of course, because you're a ginger too.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all keep in touch. We're all part of the same network, you know.
It's that ginger sense, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. And some of the, you know, most of the writers, I think they've even been part of the show for almost the whole run, or they've gone on to some other things. Is there anybody that's coming to mind for you?
Producers. Al Jean and Mike Rice. They
you always hear Al Jean's name on all the credits.
Yes, at least two or three times. They wound up being executive producers for a show that spawned off of that called Critic.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
It stinks.
Yes, Mr. Sherman, everything stinks.
Which is an episode that was a show based off, you know, they used the critic, Jake Sherman, who is voiced by John Lovitz, in an episode of The Simpsons to promote the critic, which debuted, I think it was 94, 95.
Yeah.
So that went on for a season. But still, the fact that they were able to spawn off, I guess you could say that was the first official, unofficial spinoff of Simpsons.
Yeah.
If you want to call it that. Not so much other spinoffs, but it's, I would think the success of an animated show led to more animated shows.
Yeah.
I think of King of the Hill.
Yes. Oh my God, King of the Hill.
Which, you know what? I didn't realize how long that show went for.
Yeah.
It started in, what, 97 and went all the way to 2009.
Yep. And
I can't think of that many episodes of
right before it got its final series finale episode. Fox did what they do with a lot of cartoons. They canceled it.
No, yeah.
King of the Hill, canceled.
That's what they do.
Cartoon Network picked up the ball and ran with it. They gave it final four episodes on the show since they were doing reruns on Cartoon Network, and it got so much positive response and fan response of wanting them to finish it a proper way, and so they had four episodes to tie the loose ends up together, and it was actually pretty good. King of the Hill, I liked King of the Hill, especially since it followed up The Simpsons. Like, there was a while where it was kind of like animation domination, where it was just... Yeah. Sunday night was cartoons on Fox. That's it.
Right, yeah. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
You know, earlier on in the success of the show, I've talked to you about this before, but for me, watching The Simpsons, it's one show up until, like, seasons, like, maybe 11, 12, and then it kind of...
You grew up a little.
I'm not going to say I grew up a little. I'm just going to say they lost their way. Yeah. It's like they started running out of ideas, maybe. And there were some good episodes here and there. I grow fond of the first early seasons, either the plots of them or just the storytelling they were trying to do. It was more or less... And maybe this is just me looking back as an older person watching these older seasons, but the stories they were telling, I think they're more grounded, if that makes any sense. They're more dealing with real life situations.
Yeah, but in their own universe.
They had their own values. They had their own family values, and at the end of the day, Homer would do what's right for his family, and they would just do whatever situation that Bart would get himself into.
Or Lisa.
Yeah, some the occasional Lisa one. Homer would always have to...
clean up the mess.
Yeah. But it was. I think it was more of a strong storytelling sensibility in those first, like I said, 10, 11 seasons.
Because it was for me, it was kind of like a get to know your girlfriend kind of phase. Because they had so many characters that there was still in those first 10 or 12 seasons, there was still a lot of fleshing out that could have been done on everyone. So you got an episode based on Ralph.
Yeah,
you got an episode about the comic book guy. You got an episode about Apu having getting married and having 8 kids. You know, you had an episode of Nelson, the bully, finally getting bullied. You had the episode where Lisa falls in love with Nelson. You had episodes with every other character. Ned, Hurricane Nettie, where Ned actually finally goes crazy after 6 or 7 seasons of him being the Christian right and mighty. You know, and the episode where Maude dies. Like every character, like the first 10 or 12 or 13 seasons. They focused on the family, but every once in a while they would bring in more fleshing out more of a certain character to where, oh man, who else needs it? To the point where it was still fresh and the ideas were still good and the interactions, and it wasn't just like, oh, Bart got into a problem. It's Bart and Milhouse got into a problem. Bart and Nelson got into a war. The parents had to solve it before everybody, all the kids went nuts. It felt like it was still brand new, 8 or 9 seasons
in. I wonder if that was by design or coincidence that their little off characters, little side characters that probably shouldn't have been, you know, focused on or anything, they were so memorable that they had to bring in more information about them. Because even by, I remember going to an outlet store or whatever, a video game store or whatever, but they had like posters of TV shows, movies, and they had a Simpsons one. This is back in 2000. Or 99, 98, somewhere in there. And they had a poster of Simpsons. And it was just...
the full cover. Cast.
Yeah. And it was... 16
at least 100 people.
16 by 24. Least. Yeah, just covered in no repeat customer or no repeat characters, but just all original characters. All, you know, because they're itty-bitty. You know, okay. You cover them all, you know.
I'm going to put a timer on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to put this here timer on. In 60 seconds.
No, oh, no, don't do it, dude. I can't do it.
60 seconds.
I know where you're going with this.
I can't do seconds? Stupid iPhone. Okay, we're going to do it in a minute or less. Spout out as many Simpsons characters that you know without repeating yourself. Ready? No editing necessary. Go.
Okay, Homer, Bart, Lisa, Marge, Maggie. Sandy's Little Helper, does that count?
Sure.
Grandpa or Abe. Mole Man. Ned. Edna. Skinner. Skinner's mom. I don't know if that counts. Milhouse.
You don't know Skinner's mom's name?
Agnes.
There you go. All
right. The Otto, comic book guy. Apu. Chalmers.
Super Nintendo Chalmers.
Yes. Nelson. Jimbo, Dolph, I can't remember the other bull's name.
Kearney?
I think so. Ralph, Wiggum.
Sherry and Terry?
No, I was actually thinking. Chief
Wiggum?
Yeah, Chief Wiggum. Burns, Smithers.
Lenny and Carl?
Shut up, yes. Lenny. Yes, do you want to do this fucking list?
3, 2, 1.
Krusty! Oh, whew. You can't do that in a minute. There's no way. You want me to pull the timer on your ass?
No. You missed Dr. Hibbert.
No, I did. You only give me a minute, dude.
You missed Dr. Nick.
Bye, everybody. Screw you, Chris.
Oh, man. Yeah, and that's just...
give me another 15 minutes and I can do it, all right?
That's the tip of the iceberg, yeah. There's a lot of people.
Whew. Okay.
That was fun.
For you. Man, I'm like all verklempt over here.
That is a steak burger that you just had before we started
that
recording.
That too, that ain't helping shit. All right. Okay, so... what about the theme song? Would you say one of the most recognizable theme songs?
When I think of being a kid, there's certain signs or certain sounds that you can just, you hear it and it reminds you of being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I go down the freeway and I see the Golden Arches, and I remember being a kid, my mom telling me the story that I learned to count by counting French fries at McDonald's. I hear the Simpsons theme song, and I remember being a kid on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, sitting in front of the television, being too close that my mom had to pull me back. And it says, Siéntate aquí. Sit here. I remember Sunday nights, before going to roller skating at Irvine Skate Center, 7 o'clock, watching the Simpsons. That theme song, when you hear, before you even hear the Simpsons, when you hear the...
Yeah, you know.
You know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably one of the most recognizable songs in my life.
There are two things that I think I can safe to say that stands out on the theme song. A couple visual gags. One, the first one that we get right off the bat, Bart, chalkboard.
Yes.
those are more... you have the chalkboard, and then towards the very end, obviously...
The couch gag,
yeah.
I think the chalkboard was the beginning of, before we even saw it in the episodes, the chalkboard was where they poked a little at what was going on outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they let you know that, hey, you know what, this isn't just a show about their world, they can poke fun at other things too.
Example.
Jesus, you put me on the spot, there's so many.
Yeah, not so fun, is it?
Damn. You got me. I'm still trying to remember. I'm stuck. There's so many. But yeah, I just going off of muscle memory in my head, I could remember a lot of the couch gags that had nothing to do with the cartoon.
Right, this like is
it
random
was,
stuff.
It wasn't like, I'm going to kick Anna Krabappel in the gooch. Like, it was nothing like that. It was always something that had nothing to do with the cartoon. Like, something that we could, like, pop culture-ish that we could relate to. Like, I don't want my MTV. Or something, or whatever. Like, whatever the hot topic was, that's what it was. That's what was on the board.
That's a good cop-out, right?
I tried. I don't want to cheat because I could pull some off of Wikipedia. But I don't want to cheat.
Well, you can't now because you just said it.
I know. Even though you have, and you're going to edit.
Goddamn right I am. What about the couch gag?
Some of them were freaking hilarious.
Of course, after, what, how many, 500, 600 episodes? You can't have winners or home runs all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have some duds.
The first one was easy. Everybody just ran, sat their ass on the couch, they turned on the TV, right. Done.
That started
everything. Yeah. Nice start.
Yeah.
I can see where you're going. Good job though, Jimmy. Then started getting a little more crazy. The dog is sitting on the couch and everybody's running to him. The dog's like,
yeah.
No one's sitting here, you know. They didn't talk, but you gotta get the gist of it.
And it became to a point where after so many seasons, the gag became like a 1 minute, 2 minute, 5 minute segment on its own. You know, they would have like whole scenes and different musical interludes and everything just for that gag.
Yeah.
You know, there's been times where the couch has rebelled against the family.
Yeah.
Or just, it would run and hide. There's times when things like The Simpsons would turn into Transformers. You know, yeah. All kinds of, you know, just different random things. So
the one that sticks out to me was where they had teleportation pods like Futurama.
Mm.
And there went Homer, there went Marge, there went Lisa, there went Maggie, and then boop, Fry.
Yeah.
Fry from Futurama. And then he gets sucked back up. Boom, there goes Bart. Ah, there he goes.
Yeah, you can tell they just have fun doing really both those things, really.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later on, they, as far as the animation goes, as the animation progressed, technology progressed, you started getting HD.
Yeah.
You started doing more, I guess you get... more advances with what they can do with the animation.
Yeah.
You know, not mix it in CGI or anything like that, but just clean it up a little bit. I'm not sure what season it was that went into HD, but...
I want to say it was 22? Because even after the Simpsons movie had came out, it was still in standard definition.
Let's talk about it. Simpsons movie.
Oh. That brought... I will admit, as a quote-unquote diehard Simpsons fan, just like you, there was a time where, after a while... It wasn't what I remembered it being when I was younger, and I phased out for a bit.
Yeah.
And then I remembered in the announcement, hey, Simpsons movie? Okay, I'll give it a shot. I wound up seeing it like 5 times at the theater, catching more shit that I missed every time I saw it, to where, you know what? I'm going to start watching some of these episodes again. And I think it was season 20 that followed up maybe a year or two after the Simpsons.
We might be wrong on that, but...
Mm. Yeah.
That's our disclaimer.
But yeah, that Simpsons movie pretty much stuck to the template. Like, it was a standard Simpsons episode story. It had guest stars. Tom Hanks was one of the guys in it. Green Day did the theme song, which I'm a huge Green Day mark. Bart's Little Diddle. For anyone that ever wondered what it would look like, it looks like what you would expect. The humor. It went back to, like, it was a mix of stuff that is funny now and stuff that I remember laughing at when I was a kid watching The Simpsons.
Yeah. So it kind of rekindled your love for The Simpsons, pretty much. Yeah. I can respect that. Yeah, I can get behind that. Because it is, I mean, how do you maintain, for lack of a better word, how do you maintain attention after 20-something years, 20-something seasons?
Oh, how do you stay relevant? That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. That is the better word I was looking for. So, yeah, how do you stay relevant for 20-something seasons? You kind of keep reinventing yourself and kind of getting better with the way the times are going. The movie, I think, was a good starting off point to kind of rekindle that.
Yeah.
HD came along. They redid the intro.
Yeah. Pretty. Yeah. It looks good in HD. I like it.
Well, yeah. It does. It makes the older seasons even have a more special charm than they did before. Because now you can definitely tell which ones are the older seasons.
It's weird because, like, there's cartoons nowadays that try to look real. And The Simpsons was always so colorful. There was always even in standard definition, you can tell on the on that cartoon as opposed to other stuff.
Yellows and blues. Yellows and blues.
It was bright yellows, bright blues, bright reds. Like crystal clear whites, you know, it like the colors
even,
literally
even
screamed
stuff
out
like
at
purple
you.
For the car.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, along with everything else that's come through, like the movie and things like that, they've had success outside of the TV show itself. Mm-hmm. Early days, don't lay a finger on my Butterfinger.
On the I collect the DVD sets, and some of the seasons actually have, for bonus footage, the old school Butterfinger commercials.
Nice. Okay.
With Homer trying to, like, sneak up to it, and it's like electrified, and Homer gets, like, electrocuted, and then Bart grabs it and tells him the classic line.
You know, that went on for quite a few years, and I remember at one point I remember a Butterfinger commercial coming on, and it wasn't The Simpsons promoting it.
Yeah.
I just, like, oh man, come on. I got upset about that. But all good things come to an end, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were all over the Butterfinger advertisements in the early years of that. If you don't remember, or if you weren't around, if you weren't watching it, of course you could, you know, watch the DVDs, or you can, I'm sure YouTube has them everywhere. Yeah. You know, any successful TV show or movie or whatever is going to spawn off or spin off other things. There was an arcade game. Back when arcades were a thing, there was a...
One of my favorites of all time, being a kid, going to Celebration Station, having my $10 roll worth of quarters to step up with my friends to the Simpsons arcade game. You can pick either Homer, Marge, Bart, or Lisa.
Name their weapons.
Oh, crap. Bart had the skateboard and the slingshot.
Marge had the vacuum.
Homer was just a straight-up brawler, no?
I think so. So, yeah.
And Lisa had the jump rope.
That's right. She
Lisa had
it. Yeah.
The jump rope. Yeah. And they had, like, combos. Like, if you put Lisa and Bart together and you didn't move, they would hold hands, and then one player would be able to just control both of them and just run guys over.
And wasn't there one with Homer and Bart? He would throw him or something? Like, they would do some kind of special combo move or something. I thought there was, like, combo moves. Kind of like that for everybody.
Yeah,
really.
I think... Marge picked up Bart and threw him, I think.
No, I think that was Homer that did that.
Was it Homer and Marge that did the barrel roll?
Ooh. I can't remember now. You know what? We're going to have to go play the damn thing.
It's on Xbox Arcade. I have it. For Xbox Arcade.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And it works. Like, four-player online, you can do everything.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fun.
So they had the arcade game back in the days of NES, Nintendo Entertainment System.
Ah.
Bart versus the World.
I love
that game.
With the box and the manual.
Yes.
Oh, I love that game.
I played the hell out of that game when I was a kid. you still have it?
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Dude, one Saturday I'll bring the NES over. We'll throw down, dude.
I have any NES.
Oh, yeah? Don't have the game?
I don't think I have the game. I have a lot of games for it. I don't know if I have that game, though. It was a fun game, though.
Yeah.
Something about it, with all the levels, and then you had the side little puzzles and everything in there. Yeah, it was just a fun game. They did another game after that. What was it called?
Bart's Worst Nightmare?
I think so.
Yeah.
Has something to do with Krusty Land, I think.
Yeah.
I only played that once. I only played that once or twice. I remember when I played it as a kid, I didn't dig it as much as Bart versus the World.
Bart versus the
World.
Dude,
they nailed it with that first game, dude.
Bart being the superhero, being Bartman, yeah.
And now that's kind of come full circle with you know, everybody being a gamer nowadays with your phones and Xbox and everything else. We watched the Simpsons premiere while we're playing Simpsons Tapped Out on our damn phones.
It is crazily addictive. The first opening scene, you download the game, you play it, and it's literally Homer busting the balls of Farmville. Because it's basically Simpsons Farmville.
Right.
For anyone that doesn't get the reference, go play either one of them. I prefer you play Simpsons first. And then add me and Travis as a friend, Stone Cold Imrod and TB Soundwave.
Yes.
Yeah, find us. Add us. We can help each other get points. And
although now I feel like I've kind of done so much on it, I just kind of wander around and collect money, and I don't really do anything.
Yeah, I don't do anything either. Before Tapped Out, though, there were still other games. I was a huge, huge fan because at the time, back in the days, I wasn't a huge fan of violent video games. Like, I wasn't a fan of Grand Theft Auto. Like, I didn't really get the gist of, oh, hey, let me go rob cars and shoot people and rape. Simpsons Hit and Run?
Yes.
It's epic.
It's a crash course. Or no, it was Hit and Run.
It was Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yeah.
Challenges is the word I was looking for. Yeah. You have challenges and goals.
But that was a fun game.
And it was an open
range.
I
can't even forget about the game. Yeah. I'm glad you said that.
Dude.
Wow. Yeah.
Simpsons Hit and Run. I love that game.
At first I had it for the Dreamcast, and then I had it for Xbox or PlayStation 2.
I think I still have it for the GameCube.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a
cool game.
It's easy to play. You just jump into the car and you start driving. You go around and pick a you basically drive around. You have your own cab. Like, each character has their own cab.
Yeah.
And you have to go pick up another character. You have to be there in a certain time frame. You get there and you get points.
It's a mix of Grand Theft Auto and Crazy Taxi.
Crazy Taxi. Well, it's Crazy Taxi, pretty much. That's what it is. I can't believe I forgot about the game. Yeah, so.
And then.
There was a wrestling game. Simpsons Wrestling.
Yeah.
I think I played that once.
Same here.
Yeah.
It wasn't too widely available for me to get my hands on it.
When I first heard about it, it was like, Simpsons and wrestling? Okay. And then I played, I was like, okay.
Then a while back, before the Simpsons movie came out, they decided to make a whole new Simpsons game called The Simpsons Game, where it was a brand new story. That it was, you're playing as Homer, and you're going through trying to find... I forget what it was because it's been 8 years since I played it. But it was hilarious because it had all the characters in it. They had their catchphrases. And it was actually a real fun game to play.
Was this for a console?
It was for Xbox, PlayStation 2 and the Wii. Because I remember playing it on the Wii. And I used the handheld remotes. And it was weird because I used a nunchuck and the remote doing the motion stuff. It felt off.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I'm just drawing a blank for some reason, but was that?
I think
if
you see the cover, you'll be like, "I remember that."
Yeah, was it? What was it called? Simpsons Game.
The Simpsons Game.
I probably even played it. I just can't. I'm drawing a total blank right now. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. I do not remember this.
If I find it somewhere in my storage unit, we'll figure it out.
All right. But regardless, they've had success in video games. Man, now I want to play Bart vs. the World again. Hit and Run.
Hit and Run, yeah.
I think those are, for me, those are my two favorite Simpsons video games, other than Tapped Out. Tapped Out is more of a, just a,
Time Killer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're sitting in the bathroom, you ran out of the newspaper, and okay, screw it, tapped out.
Yeah. You know. Lunch break at work.
Yeah.
Casual
gaming kind of thing.
You brought up something when we were talking about this earlier, before we started recording, Bongo Comics.
Yes.
I wasn't really into the comics scene of Simpsons. That's just me personally, nothing against the comics or anything, but if there's a cartoon or live version of it, I'm going to go to that instead of the comic book version.
Yeah.
So
yeah, Matt Groening's baby. That's literally Matt Groening's comic book company.
Yeah, like Bongo.
Bongo. So it, Simpsons.
What was it named after?
It was named after one of the characters from his original Hell cartoon.
Yeah.
Comic strip that he did. One of the characters' name was Bongo, and that's where the inspiration from the name came from. So if you want Simpsons comics, Futurama comics, the Simpsons Futurama crossover comics, they have,
those actually.
They have Simpsons Illustrateds. They're cool little mashups that come out every quarter. Just little bitty stories involving certain different Simpsons characters, and they and then there's other like one offs, like one shots. Like there's a Ralph Wiggum one, there's a Milhouse one.
The thing is that they're still going on too.
Yeah,
this is something he started years ago, and it's to his credit, it's still in publication. They're still making comics. So go out to a comic shop, support your local.
Always have stuff on Free Comic Book Day. There's. The Bongo stuff,
maybe that's a secret.
Yeah, maybe that's their secret. Yeah. So, it's good stuff. The last comic I just picked up from them was a couple of weeks ago. They had a one-shot of Kang and Kodos.
Nice.
And the one-shots that they do, they always have something special, like 3D glasses or a little art print that you can sketch together. This one had a bumper sticker that says, "Don't look at me, I voted for Kodos."
Yes.
It's from one of the Simpsons Halloween episodes. And they're just cool to pick up, little one shots to collect. I read through them every now and then when I make time.
So yeah, definitely go check those out if you just want another outlet for getting your Simpsons fix.
Yeah,
it's out there. So yeah, go check it out. Any other thoughts on that?
Nah.
No. All right. We did mention it a couple of times already in the show. We would be remiss if we did not mention, real quick, we'll just kind of veer off for a second here, Futurama.
Yes. Which is basically Simpsons characters in the future.
Yes. Colored like real people.
Yeah. First thing you think of when you think of Futurama?
The humor.
Yeah.
It was a different brand of humor, but it works for them. They know where they're going for.
It's weird how they're able to like get it, because it's humor that we can relate to, even though it's 3000 is right, the year they're doing. This isn't 2007 or 2008 where the cartoon's based off of.
Yeah.
But they find a way to make today's humor work in a futuristic environment.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. What other than The Simpsons, I think in my top five of like favorite cartoon series, period, Futurama's probably like in that fifth position, because it's so hilarious. There's jokes on Futurama that I really don't think would fly on The Simpsons, even for the time period of our jokes. For some reason, I just can't see Bart or Homer saying the jokes Bender does.
Yeah,
which, well, Bender's basically a robot version of Homer. The bald head. He has one antenna instead of two hair strands. You know, instead of Homer's big belly, Bender has a little. You open him up, and he's got something. He's got a wick in there, or whatever he hides.
Whatever he stole. Yeah,
whatever he stole. I mean, it's pretty much the same character. Like he's, you would think, like the young
Bender is Homer unhinged.
Yes, unfiltered, uncensored. Yes. Yeah, you bite my shiny metal ass.
Kiss my hairy yellow butt. Now, there you go. But Futurama, I think on its own was just as, I don't want to say just as successful, but I mean it had its own cult following.
Yeah.
You know, and it was something that, you know, Fox has a tendency of just pulling the plug on certain shows. They pulled the plug on Futurama. They started replaying them on Comedy Central.
Comedy Central.
And then the hits, the success of that.
Yeah, they had four seasons on Futurama, on Fox, on Sunday, following The Simpsons.
Yeah.
And what does Fox do? Canceled it. Comedy Central started replaying the reruns.
Syndication. Yeah,
syndication. And then the following was still there, so they made 4 animated movies for television. I'd fail if I named them off the top of my head. I know it's Bender's Big Score.
That was the first one I was thinking
and,
of.
You
fail.
And that's it. I can't remember the other three. Comedy Central decided to split those 4 movies and make 4 episodes out of each movie, and they made that the 5th season.
Right, yeah.
And still had the following to where, you know what? We need to do something about this.
Yeah.
They came back on Comedy Central.
I'm glad they did.
Oh my God! Some of their best stuff was the seasons, the new episodes.
You could tell they were not far from finished at all when they got canceled.
Yeah,
yeah. Which when the 4 movies came out, they're hit or miss for me. But when the season started to come back on, doing episodic episodes, standalone episodes. When they're doing those again, that you could tell they hit their stride again, and they were. Yeah, they didn't lose their steam, I don't think. Up until the last episode.
The last episode was nice. That, to me, that's a great way to...
That's a good finale.
That's a good finale. Even the way it finished to where they go back to start to the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a continuous cycle the whole season, the whole series of the show. It was really nice. We'll get to see a little bit more of that for anybody that missed out or wants to see something fresh, because apparently Futurama's not completely gone.
Ooh.
Sometime in November, we're getting Simpsonorama. It's an episode of The Simpsons where, not to give away everything, I'll try my best not to give away everything.
Well, they've
everything.
Already, I mean, there's been articles about it, about what the plot is.
The Simpsons, through a lot of their episodes, have taken inspiration from books, other TV shows, other movies. Mm-hmm. I think Stephen King's Under the Dome. Mm-hmm. Is it Stephen King Under the Dome? That's the inspiration for the Simpsons movie where they got trapped in the glass dome.
Mm-hmm. I'll say yes.
they've pulled stuff from Edgar Allan Poe and some other writers.
Well, you have to. Movies. I mean, pretty much. If, you know.
They're going off a Terminator.
Yes.
Bender travels in time to stop Bart from doing something. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But the cast of Futurama comes to Springfield. And I am...
All the voice actors are returning to do it. Of course, it wouldn't work without them.
Yeah.
That's part of the charm and humor of the show in itself.
There has to be a manwich in Springfield somewhere. And I bet Abe and Farnsworth are going to get along just fine.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the possibilities are endless for just interactions, team-ups. Yeah.
Especially the Clash, because we talked earlier how The Simpsons came out around the same time that Married with Children came out, and now Katie Sagal,
yeah,
voices Leela, is going to be face to face with Marge, kind of like a throwback to how it all started.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Yeah. I'm more excited about that one than what we just saw. But before we get into that, I think one of the issues that affected Simpsons, the quality of Simpsons storytelling, is another show that debuted around the turn of the century, 99, 2000, Family Guy. Simpsons was doing just fine on their own, and then this little hotshot Seth MacFarlane comes around with a show called Family Guy.
Son of a bitch!
With a vast difference of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Which, don't get me wrong, when the first 1 or 2 seasons of Family Guy, there was some hilarious stuff in that show.
Yeah.
Edgier. It wasn't totally out there to be totally shock, I don't think, at that time. Not compared to what they were doing later on.
Yeah.
But it was definitely different from Simpsons, to the point where it made Simpsons dull, I think.
Yeah. Like, Family Guy raised the bar. Like, whatever lines you couldn't break that the Simpsons were close to pushing, Family Guy just jumped over it and went further out.
Yeah.
You know?
Which got him canceled.
Shocker!
But like Futurama, they got syndication, I think, on TBS for Family Guy.
That was after. Cartoon Network, again.
Was it Cartoon Network?
Yeah.
Syndication. Yeah, they went on the syndication for a while, and then... Oh, know what it was? It was the DVDs. When they released them on DVDs, the box set, seasons 1, 2, and 3, the sales of that actually made Fox listen for once.
Yeah.
They said, oh, wait, boy, this is successful.
Yeah.
People like this show. Let's bring it back. And then that's when they came back, and then they're still going on since then.
Yeah.
So, to that end, I will point out one joke that Family Guy did about when they came back from being canceled. Peter made some kind of joke about Fox canceling different shows.
Oh, and they all paused, the shows.
And they ran up all like a really fast list of all these different shows that they had canceled. So that was pretty funny. But the way it affected Simpsons, you can go back and watch Simpsons episodes before Family Guy, and then watch Simpsons episodes after Family Guy. And there's a big difference
in storytelling, delivery, characterizations.
Homer changed. I think he became more Peter-esque.
Yeah.
In my mind. I could be totally wrong, but that's my observations of what happened. And I think some points they do rein him back in, and they do remember what got him to the dance in the first place. Yeah. But definitely, Family Guy, that changed things, for sure. They just recently did a crossover.
Family Guy episode going to Springfield.
Yeah. That came on this past week.
Yeah.
It was an hour long special. Two episodes basically is an hour. It was a Family Guy episode, so it wasn't Simpsons and Family Guy. It was a Family Guy episode featuring the Simpsons. And you could definitely tell who the writers were working for.
Yeah.
After watching it, what was your thoughts on the crossover?
My initial thought when I was watching the crossover was that I'm glad the Simpsons haven't gone that far, because it didn't work. There was a lot of times where the Simpsons doing the Family Guy shtick didn't work. The fight scene,
I understand where they're going with that, but it went
a little too far to where it could work if it was Peter and the chicken, but it just didn't work right with Homer.
No. There was that particular example. Two other ones that really stand out for me.
The car wash
scene, that was just horrendous. Oh god, that was hard to watch. And secondly, when they first met each other. And Homer had to introduce donuts to him, and he had to explain how to eat donuts. You have to say, donuts.
Nom.
Yeah, that was way too forced, and it got me off to the wrong feel of the show. I was about to turn it off, actually, after that, but I gave it a shot. There were some good ha-ha moments.
There was some good character building there. I liked the interaction between Lisa and Meg.
Yeah, that was good.
It actually gave credibility to Meg's character, because even in that episode, Meg gets dogged, like she gets dogged in every other episode. But there was value there between the two of them.
Absolutely, yeah.
I liked it a lot.
When Lisa's actually trying to get her to, hey,
what are you good at?
Yeah.
Oh, bitch, you're good at the one thing I'm the best at? Fuck you.
Yeah.
The Bart and Stewie stuff was hilarious. I think they hit that on the nose both sides.
You think so?
Yeah, Stewie wanting to be like Bart, dressed like him, like barely rolling down on the skateboard, trying to balance. Like, yeah, a slingshot. Primitive, but it worked. It's so simple.
I like that. I didn't know where he was going to go with that reaction when he saw the slingshot, because, you know, Stewie has all kinds of different things.
He goes to the future.
And then whenever Bart mentions the weapons room or whatever he said, or he opens it up and it's just an empty space, empty closet, just a slingshot hanging down, and Stewie's just like, he pauses for a second, you don't know what he's gonna say, and then he approves.
Yeah. Wholeheartedly approves.
Yes. I thought that was a nice touch. He could've, yeah. But and then him taking out Nelson and all them.
The Family Guy of Nelson getting destroyed by Stewie was kind of funny. I like that.
There's some other, like I said, ha-ha gags. Like, whenever he first goes in the Quickie Mart, and Apu, and then the applause thing goes off.
Applause, yeah. Revolution.
that was a nice little touch. Yeah. The dinner scene. When Homer is talking to... he's telling a story about Peter, and he mentions...
Oh, we work great together. Like, Peter's like he's trying, like, they're in Family Guy world. You're supposed to do it like this so we can lead into the spot to splicing of something stupid and random.
And Homer's like, what? I don't understand what you're doing.
He's like, let me take care of this.
Yeah,
we work better like than this and this.
The pilots in World War II.
Yeah,
and then it cuts to Another really good classic. That one worked, I thought.
Yeah.
Them two fighting, taking down the gunner, and then Bob pops up.
Bob Belcher. Yeah. He's like, oh, we have to bring him along. He's like, why? He's like, oh, the last person that we let fly solo didn't do so well. Clip to Cleveland, sinking in his plane. Oh, no.
And that was them making fun of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's something that Simpsons always do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they got it on that instance. But there was a lot of Family Guy-esque jokes that just... it didn't fit for Simpsons characters. And that's when the one thing I was afraid of that was going to happen. There was some controversy for one particular joke that got news attention before it even aired. And I was even thinking to myself when I heard about, great, because it's Family Guy, it's already got a negative connotation. And it's bringing Simpsons down to their level.
Yeah.
It was the phone gag.
Which I had already seen. They had teasers on that on Entertainment Weekly or something, like a month before this episode aired. Like, I saw it, and I was like, my first thought was, all right. Like, I didn't think of it as a bad way. Then when
because
I said,
it's a Family Guy joke.
It's a Family Guy
that
joke.
That would not work at all on Simpsons.
Yeah, and Simpsons never gone that far.
No.
So, yeah.
You can't make it 26 seasons by doing that kind of joke.
Yeah.
Pretty much. So. I'm glad that it was Stewie that said it and not Bart. I think that totally would have killed Bart as a character, I think.
Yeah.
I could be mistaken on that, but it is what it is. It's just a joke. If you watch these critics and things, if they watch Family Guy, they would have known that's their humor.
For me personally, I like the old Family Guy episodes. The new ones, they're really hit or miss. I think my perception of it changed when they had a episode that was unreleased that you that you had to buy or rent separately, and it was an episode where they're trying to find humor in an abortion.
Yeah,
and there was not one moment in that episode that I laughed, and it completely shut me off of Family Guy for a very long time. I couldn't even watch the old stuff. Like, it was weird. Like, it just felt weird. And lately, I've
kind of ruined the charm. It ruined the charm for you. Yeah,
like, it wasn't the same anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. They do things for shock value, and it's, you mentioned before, it's hit or miss. You know, you're going to either offend somebody or you're just going to laugh at it. I guess laugh it off. But I mean, it's going to do that to people. It's going to,
I think,
rub the wrong way.
The weirdest hit for me on that episode was one that I'm surprised I would like, because Family Guy, at times, they've stopped being 100% funny and try to take on serious tones. I remember a season premiere of the Family Guy where Stewie and Brian are locked in the bank vault over the weekend, and they're afraid they're going to die, and they're all this. It's fucking depressing. They ended the show with Stewie talking to Brian. He's like, nah, I'm not going to miss Bart, even though he wanted to be Bart's friend and FaceTime Mike Chat or Snapchat or whatever. And Bart just said, nah, you freaked me out. And Stewie played it off all calm and cool. And then he goes into his room where he has a chalkboard and he's like crying his eyes out. And I was like, wow. Like, that kind of, that was one of the relationships in the show I liked. So for them to end it that way, I thought it was
like he lost
fitting.
The friend.
Yeah. It came off real fitting. And they ended the show. They ended the Family Guy show the way Simpsons episodes start, with Bart on the chalkboard. And it ended with Stewie on there. And I thought it was a really good ending. It kind of saved a lot of the show for me, the way that episode ended. Will there be another one? Am I looking forward to it? Not a lot. I'm looking forward more to Futurama.
Simpsonorama.
Simpsonorama, yeah.
Yeah.
Simpsonorama. Or whatever conjunction of the words. Like, if they both run into each other.
I'm telling you, man, we mentioned the Bongo comics before. I actually have. That's the only set of comics I have for Bongo is the
crossover.
I have the hardcover bound collection of the whole thing. And, man, it is good. It's, yeah, if you can find it, it's on Amazon, things like that. You can find it. And it's good. Just because you have that collection of all these different characters. But man, how we switch? We switch really fast on that. But
I'm hoping that's an hour long episode, because you could easily make that an hour long.
I wouldn't be, if worst case scenario, if this is the last of the Simpsons, this is like, say hypothetical, they say we're not going to do it anymore. I want this Futurama episode to be the last episode. That would be. It'd be all of his creations, all of his at work once. In one fitting little bow tie finale.
Goodbye, yeah.
So it's good. It would be a good finale by itself, definitely. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, the film book. I was never anticipating that. I was never looking forward to it. I think I've been vocal about that before, but
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just
off the record.
This is one of those things where it's just two different styles, and the only reason they did the crossover was because it was all on the same channel.
Yeah,
I did like. They did bring in Roger from American Dad.
Yeah, with Kang and Kodos. Yeah. That was funny. Yeah.
And then he gets sucked out. Thanks for having me by.
Yeah.
So I just mentioned, if, you know, I said worst case scenario, this is the last season. How much longer do you think they have? Do you think they can go
if
much
they
longer?
Wanna be, if they want to. I would think a series like that deserves a frown number. Stop at 30. If you can hang that long. If it can keep it creative. I mean, like you said, Family Guy came along and it kind of... Family Guy came in at the right time during the 2000s where the craziness got ramped up to the next level because there was a lot of stuff on TV that was taking stuff like that to the next level. Cheaters. I don't remember Cheaters before 2000, but I remember watching that being like, oh, that's the next thing in television. Yeah. That kind of humor, that kind of entertainment, and that's the kind of stuff the Family Guy brought in. And then somewhere down the line, The Simpsons hit it off to where retro was back. The old stuff was new again. Mm-hmm. Your memories were cool, and you can and everything else was a bonus. And then when the Simpsons movie came out, I was like, oh hey, I forgot I used to like it, I'm gonna try it again. Right. And that's when they started hitting their stride a little bit through seasons 20, 21, 22.
Anytime I see a movie come out of a TV show, I always think that it's gonna be the end of the TV show. Yeah. Like that's gonna be their finale. And thankfully I was wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, just devil's advocate here. When Family Guy, I mentioned this before, Family Guy came out and they kind of changed their tone and sense of humor and things like that for Simpsons to try to keep up with the other show. What if Simpsons didn't change their tone and kept it more or less status quo? Do you think that would have made them gone out of business or shut down? Or
I don't think so.
No?
Nah. I don't think they've changed that much. I think they just defined their characters a little more. Like, Homer was always the... he's not all there kind of guy's guy. And they just cranked him up to like, if he was a 6 volume, they cranked him up to like a 8. Instead of Family Guy, where Peter's cranked up to like 28. You know,
or negative 28, which is
whatever decibel you're looking at. So it just felt like they added more accessories to it as opposed to just redoing the entire thing. So they didn't really lose a lot of the coreness of The Simpsons. They just went from, we're going to stay in our storytelling, in our universe, and we're going to start branching out to other things outside of us. To where, hey, Homer Simpson's in freaking Lollapalooza getting shot with a cannon with Smashing Pumpkins.
Hey, Bart's joined a boy band.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when you mention going out, expanding out, doing different things.
Doing real world things.
Okay. When you can get crazy on a Simpsons episode, isn't that what Treehouse of Horror was all about?
Treehouse of Horror felt like a different series. Because there wasn't really anything from Treehouse of Horror that stayed in the original Simpson episode storyline. It was just completely
standalone.
Like your imagination. This is your Simpsons on your craziest imagination. Smoke this marijuana. Take this crack cocaine. Take this suppository. Open your eyes. This is what the Simpsons would be in that trip. That's what that was.
Thank you, Chris.
Not that I've done any or all any order or that particular order.
Yes. And that's another thing that's changed with the times. You know, the earlier Treehouse of Horrors, it was horror that they were doing. Now it's just, they do just anything.
They spoof anything.
Yeah.
They spoofed Transformers. They spoofed Mad Men. They spoofed...
it should be called Treehouse of Spoofs. That's pretty much what it is now.
Treehouse of Boo. Instead of horror. One of your favorite episodes is the original Treehouse of Horror.
Just for the fact of what it started, yeah.
Yeah.
It is a yearly tradition.
which apparently they didn't start in the first season because it was only half a season.
Which is kind of funny because sometimes it doesn't air till after Halloween.
Yeah. Well, now that Fox has picked up baseball and they have the playoffs, the postseason going on right now, everything
it is just screws everything up. Yeah. Damn baseball.
I know.
What have you done for me lately?
Well, back then when Homer joined the baseball team with Mr. Boynes,
That's another good episode.
Yeah.
There's been so many good episodes, Chris.
Trav. The Treehouse of Horror is your favorite one of your favorite episodes.
One of the other ones. No particular order. But we were thinking about this earlier. I'm gonna say there's a few episodes here. Homer at the Bat.
Yes.
When Mr. Burns buys the isotopes, right? He buys his own baseball team, pretty much.
Yeah.
And he brings in all the
It doesn't buy the baseball team. It's the Springfield Nuclear Power Plant baseball softball team against Shelbyville's softball team. And the owners have a bet. So Mr. Burns wants to beat him by hiring baseball players to work at the plant. And, oh, by the way, here's the board to sign up for our softball team. And all the pros sign up for it.
Yeah. There's some good jokes here and there in this episode that I grew fond of. So this the whole Mattingly and the sideburns.
Mattingly. I told you to take those sideburns.
His damn hair is shaved up to the top of his head. Homer the Bat's a good one. The Simpsons Christmas special.
The first episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that set the tone for a lot of stuff. You know, they get Santa's little helper. It shows more of a grounded base of Homer struggling to get Christmas money to buy presents.
Yeah.
How much more reality-based can you get with that?
Who else hasn't struggled to try to have extra money for birthday presents?
He's Homer, he's a Santa mall. He gets 13 bucks. And so he has to go to office supply store and buys, like, paper and pens and...
Squeak toy. Dog squeak toy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the best Christmas present they got was Santa's little helper.
Yeah.
You know, the dog that nobody wanted.
He's a quitter. He's a loser. He's a Simpson.
Yeah. that was a good episode. Yeah.
What's his name? Number 8. Oh, Santa's little helper.
Do you remember the Bart Simpson Christmas song?
Oh, jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. The Batmobile lost his wheel and Joker got away. Hey! And there could be more to it, but he got pulled off.
That's
the
when
stage.
He got pulled off, yeah. Weak! That's the last thing you hear. Another really good episode that I like is Homer's Enemy.
Oh, when they Grimy, bring Frank Grimes.
Yeah, Frank Grimes, yes.
Wow.
The best thing I like about that episode was when they have the picnic in his backyard. And Grimes just, like, stands up and says, "What is wrong with you people? He does this. He doesn't do anything right. He does all these different things." And all of the regular characters, they, like, back up Homer. Like, he's, like, their guy.
Yeah.
And I just love that. I thought that was so touching, you know? It was just a nice aspect of the history of all the characters. You know, this is Homer. This is their guy. And who's this guy to come in and say that he's doing everything wrong? Screw this guy.
Yeah, screw the outsider.
Yeah.
And he winds up killing himself on accident.
And everybody's happy.
Yeah.
It took me a while to figure out the name of this episode. Summer of 4 Foot 2.
Oh, you mean we're going through show prep? And he's like, wait a minute. What's this show? Summer of 4FT2? I'm like, bro. Read it out. It's 4 foot. 4 foot 2.
It's not going over my head, man. Jesus.
Explain Summer 4 foot 2.
Basically, school's out. Lisa realizes that she's not popular. Everybody's, you know, Bart's the popular one. Everybody signs it. He's got a line of racking up, you know, yearbook. He's sitting at a table signing yearbooks, and no one's signing her book.
Yeah.
They cut to... a family tradition, you know, it's a family tradition. People pack up and go to the beach, you know, for
summer
vacation. And Lisa decides, screw it. I'm not going to pack anything. I'm going to wing it, try to be cool, whatever. And it turns out it works. For better or worse.
Yeah.
And much of the ire of Bart.
Yeah.
But some of the hijinks you know, the back and forth between the brother and the sister, and some of the aspects of Marge kind of, you know, seeing all the post-it notes and everything. Oh, when Homer goes up and sees the note on the door, hi diddly, hi diddly do. Oh, God, he actually wrote diddly.
And then the post-it note on the fridge, food goes in here. Homer grabs it and puts it on his belly. And then, like, Bart's like, man, Lisa's taking all of my stuff. And you hear in the background, don't have a cow, man. He's like, that's my catchphrase. And yeah. Marge puts her in, puts him in his place. You haven't said that shit in years.
Oh,
let her have it.
Oh, when Lisa has her friends in the room and their friend says, yeah, your mom's really cool. If that was my mom, she probably would have come out with some Tang and
some Kool-Aid.
And she comes out and she turns back around. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. I need to add that on my iPad. God, I'm taking notes.
And then, you know, you mentioned before the Treehouse of Horror. Some of the, just the bits of the Treehouse of Horrors. The Raven. Bad Dream House, where the house is possessed.
Yeah.
You know? Hungry Are the Damned.
Oh,
that was when Kane and Kodos, they tried... They kept them, they want to cook them, and Lisa finds the cookbook, and they keep rubbing off the name of them.
Hilarious.
So that's mine. Probably a couple more of the Treehouse of Horrors. Nightmare on Evergreen Terrace.
Yes! That's where Willy
yes.
is Freddy Krueger, and he uses the rake to claw people in their dreams because he had mysteriously died or vanished or something. Oh, I love that episode. What Maggie winds up saving them. He's Moe's like this like huge bagpipe crab monster thingy that breathes out one of the tailpipes of the bagpipe. And then Maggie rescues him by putting her pacifier on it. The dude just keeps blowing up until he explodes because he can't respirate. It's hilarious.
What about you for, not for episodes, but just bits of
Treehouse of Horrors. Me being a nerd, a geek, a literary guy. Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
Yep, I think
they narrowed like 60% of that poem because that bitch is long. that's a long ass story. The Raven from Edgar Allan Poe. Just them visualizing it. I think as a kid, that's what got me into literature, into writing. That a poem. You're at school and you're like, man, learning sucks. You're reading all these stories. You don't know how it makes sense. You don't know how to remember it. And I'm sitting at home watching the first episode of the Treehouse of Horrors.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, the Raven. And I was like, I remember this from school, from being in school. And visually, I remember watching it. And it was so well done. It was mm-hmm. so entertaining that I went to the library the next day and checked out Edgar Allan Poe.
Really?
Yeah. It got me into into writing, and I've been writing ever since, off and on, mostly off, but I have my moments now. But one of my favorite all time Simpsons period.
So it's a muse for you.
That one. They've branched off on a couple other episodes of Edgar Allan Poe. They had a episode where Lisa has a new friend, Allison, comes into the school that's smarter than her and better than her in every way, and their diorama season, and she winds up hiding. Allison's diorama somewhere in the gym and replaces it with like this cow heart, and they go Edgar Allan Poe on it and the telltale heart it's like you can hear the heartbeat ticking and it's and it drives Lisa's brain insane. I love that story. Off topic, so that Raven's one of my favorite Treehouse of Horrors. The second one, we talked about how animation advanced and they kind of like took risks on their animation. I never thought I would see Homer in the real world. Homer cubed. Homer 3.
Yes.
Where there's like a vortex hidden behind the shelf in the living room, and Homer gets lost in this third dimension where he gets hit in the butt with a cone. Watch it, cone. He pulls it out and throws it in the middle of the world, and it winds up making this huge black hole that sucks everything in. The animation for it was way ahead of its time.
Like, this is when he went into the real world, and he's...
At the end, he falls into the black hole, and he ends up here in our world. Like,
I remember he's walking down the street, all freaked out about everything.
Yeah, like, ooh,
that was, I think,
erotic cakes.
Yeah, I want to say that was probably their first gimmick they did.
Yeah,
as far as animation styles go, yeah, that was a good one. Yeah, because I remember that was one of the first heavily like, check this out. you don't want to miss this.
Yeah.
So.
And then another Treehouse of Horror would be The Devil in Homer Simpson, where Flanders is the devil.
Oh, God. Yeah.
And Homer's like, I will give you this donut. Once you eat this donut, your soul belongs to me. And Homer's like, oh, so if I don't eat this last bite, my soul doesn't belong to you, huh? I feel the devil. In the middle of the night, he's in the fridge. And he goes, Homer, you better not be eating that donut. He's like, sacrilegious. He eats it. Boom. Soul's gone to Flanders. He goes to hell. He's like, oh, you like donuts, eh? Well, let's see if we can feed your stomach full of these. And they feed him donut after donut after donut. And you see Homer like, boop, 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 start getting fatter and fatter. And he's like, hum, 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 hum. And then they run out of donuts. And Homer's like, more. Hum, hum. And they go, holy crap. What the hell? And they actually have a trial in the Simpsons living room. And Marge finds a loophole in it where there's a wedding picture. And in the back, Homer's like, yeah, I love you so much for making me happy. My soul will forever be belonging to you. And the devil's like, all right, you won this round. And it turns Homer's head into this huge-ass donut.
Right, yeah. Yes.
And he's like, I don't know if I want to go out to work today. And all the cops are out there with their guns in one hand and a cup of coffee in the other. He's coming. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. Any other ones?
Treehouse of Horrors. I don't remember the name of it, but it's one where Homer is trying to fix the toaster, and he winds up traveling through time. Through different universes, okay. He lands in one where it's this badass living room, kitchen. He's sitting down. The kids are all nice and dressed for school in uniform. Marge is in like these sexy ass clothes, and he's like, "Hey, Dad, so are we gonna take the Lexus to our to Aunt Patty and Selma's funeral?" And he's thinking, "Oh, so I have a Lexus. My sister's in law. I have a Lexus. My sister's in laws are dead. Both of my kids are dressed. They address me by name. Oh, this is heaven." And he goes, Marge, can you kindly pass me a donut? And Marge goes, donut? What's a donut? He runs back down to the basement and travels out of that universe.
Right, yeah.
And as soon as he's gone, Marge goes, oh, it's raining again. And it's raining donuts. God, those are freaking hilarious.
I'm glad you said that. That was a funny one. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
And he's like, oh, everyone looks normal at the end. And everyone's like lizards, like they're eating with their tongues, and they're just eating it. And they're like, fuck it, close enough for me. He just sits there eating. As far as Treehouse of Horrors goes, those are some of the memorable ones. And The Shining.
All right. Don't you mean The Shining?
Shh. You want to get sued?
Oh. Okay, so Treehouse of Horror. You asked me what my favorite episodes were. I had five. What about your five?
Pre-tape, the running gag was I was just going to go through Wikipedia and start listing episodes because the first 7 or 8 seasons, there's not a bad apple in the bunch. It's hard to narrow it down. So I'm going to try to be as eclectic as I can. So I'm going to start off with me being a huge mark of Legos, me being a huge mark of the Lego movie, me having the whole original 16 Simpsons Lego minifigures from the blind bags. I have them all. The Simpsons version of Lego, where Homer is in a Lego, everything is done in Lego, was probably the most recent episodes from the last 3 or 4 seasons. That's probably one of the funniest ones I've ever seen.
That was season 25, episode 19?
Yes.
Or 20? Yeah, 20, I think.
Yeah.
I just know that because I happened to see it on one of the apps over there.
It's funny, like, I heard the build-up. I was like, oh, they're going to do a Lego movie episode of The Simpsons. I watched the episode. The story was really believable. That Homer like bought a princess set for Lisa to build together, and somehow in his nightmare that links the nightmare to the alternate reality to.
It makes sense because it's a dream.
The story was really well done. I liked it a lot, and just everything Lego was freaking hilarious. The City of New York versus Homer Simpson. One of the episodes that happened before 9/11, they actually have the Twin Towers there. A lot of the skit revolves around the Twin Towers because Barney took his car and parked it right in the middle of of part one of One Tower Plaza. Hmm. So right in between both of the Twin Towers, there's the park, the car right there. He's got to go pee. Goes up to the top of the first tower. He's like, oh, fuck. Bathroom's out of order. Goes down, runs across the park, goes up to the second tower. Ah! They wind up towing his car. They wind up putting another ticket on his car, and he can't get the boot off. The interactions, everything in that episode was so hilarious. I still watch it to this day. I'll randomly put it on my iPad and watch it. Funny episodes. Let's see. Homer. H-O-M-R. We find out why Homer's an idiot. Apparently, he tried lodging 16 crayons into his nose as a kid.
And who doesn't?
And then he sneezed and left one up there, right in the top of the brain. Right there in the temple.
Makes sense.
So, they have it removed, and he winds up being a genius. Pretty much Lisa.
Yeah.
Or they get along together and everything. But it turns out, he's learning now what Lisa's been learning since she was born, to where being smart alienates you from all the idiots in your crowd that you know and you want to tolerate and you like. And he wants to be stupid again.
So what does he do?
He puts the crayon right back in his... gets one of Lisa's crayons. A little powder blue. Boop, right back up his nose. Yeah, it was a real good episode. I like that one. El Viaje Misterioso de Señor Homer.
What?
Chili cook-off. Homer eats this spicy chili from Chief Wiggum. From the merciless force of Quetzal Tachinango. I know I'm mispronouncing that, but it sounds something like that. Where it burns Homer's tongue so bad just by touching it, he can't even eat it, and he runs around crazy. He finds a way around it by eating a candle. The wax from the candle covers his tongue to where he can't feel anything. He's literally swallowing these chili peppers. Like, my God. Smoke should be coming out of this man's ears. Krusty goes, his ears if we're lucky. Well, it turns out the chilies made him crazy, and he winds up having this delusional dream starring Johnny Cash as a fox trying to teach him that who his soulmate is, because the whole absence of him going through that chili thing, Marge thought he drank beer after he promised Marge he wasn't going to drink beer at all, and Marge thought he broke the promise. And Homer's looking for a soulmate because he thinks Marge isn't. Or at the end of the show, it winds up being Homer and Marge and all this other stuff. But that's another animation thing where it isn't your standard Simpsons animation. It's trippy. Like, it's all kinds of animation designs and colors, and it's out there. Like, it's weird. At the time, I hadn't seen anything like that either.
Yeah.
And something about Johnny Cash's voice. You know, we can't really tell. A lot of times we remember names but not faces. The Simpsons got to the point where I didn't know Phil Hartman as much as I knew Troy McClure.
Gotcha.
Like, I didn't know Johnny Cash, the Ring of Fire song on the radio, as opposed to Johnny Cash's voice as the fox on that episode. I remember that, like, clear as day. How many episodes is that so far that I've counted off?
It's three.
Three?
Four.
Four. Oh, man.
One more.
Come on. I want to go to Camp Krusty. Take me, take me, take me, take me now. Now, 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 now. Oh, that's something different. That's not Splashmore. But still, it's that freaking catchy. The kid's trying to go to Camp Krusty. Lisa gets all A's. Bart gets D's that he tries to fake into A's. And Homer doesn't buy it for a second. But he's like, I don't want you here. Fucking take off. Camp Krusty's fucking crooked. It's taken over by Mr. Black and, like, the bullies. Carney, Jimbo, and... not Nelson, but the other one.
Dolph,
yeah. And it's freaking like an internment camp. Like, the fat kids are being starved. They're making, like, wallets for China. And it's freaking sweatshop and everything. And, like, the cabins are all run down to where Bart leads the charge to have the whole thing taken over. And it becomes Camp Bart.
I just love the introduction of, like, Bart as the...
like the villain of the whole thing.
Well, just the village leader,
You know, he's on his little throne with the face paint and the makeup. Yeah.
He's like, oh, Bart, you said we were going to name it Camp Sensible. And this had more zing.
Yeah.
And then Krusty has to go in there to prove himself that it's the real Krusty because the crooked guys wound up bringing Barney in a Krusty mask.
Yeah.
He's like, we want Crunchy. We want Crunchy because he's half drunk and doesn't know what he's talking about. And the end of the show is like, oh, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to so make it up to you. How about 2 weeks in Tijuana? Out of Mexico, and they all go apeshit bonkers. It's freaking hilarious.
It was like the old snapshot photo, like you just see like different clips of
like
the
Polaroids and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But God, the first 8 or 9 episodes, seasons, I mean, seriously, Hurricane Nettie, where Ned goes insane.
You can throw a dart at a list of episodes, and it's going to be a good one, pretty much.
Not trying to be a mark or a fan. The first 5 episodes, the first 5 seasons, there's not one bad episode there.
I just thought of a couple other episodes. Separate Vocations. That's the one where Bart is. He gets a gun. He also goes in a high speed chase with the police car.
Oh, where he gets to be a cop for a day.
Yeah.
And he decides, oh man, I like this job so much, I want to be the hall monitor at school.
Yeah.
And that's where Lisa's trying to be a rebel, and he busts her, and then he saves her so that Lisa can keep her credibility, and Bart stays as being the jerk.
Yeah. And just there's that one scene, the chase scene when they're going down that hilly road.
Yeah.
Hubcats are flying off. They go down this alley and they swerve around. And the guy hits the truck and blows up. It was a milk truck or something like that. Yeah. And so there's that one episode. What was it called?
We don't need the title. We'll figure it out later.
Bart goes to military school.
Oh, yes. Lisa wants to go, too, because she wants a challenge.
Yeah.
And then the brainy stuff is all fine and dandy, but when they start getting into physical challenges, Lisa can't hang. So Bart's already in there with the cool kids because he's a rebel and he can actually take all the punishment. Lisa just can't take it.
Right, yeah. And he sticks up for it.
And he sticks up for it.
Again, going back to his earlier episodes,
they build up family values
within
the family. Bringing that one up, there's an episode called Lisa Substitute where she has this huge crush over the substitute teacher that almost changed her life completely, and Homer's like doesn't get it.
The secret war of Lisa Substitute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Homer doesn't understand the relationship, and Lisa just trashes him. And in that episode, Bart tries to run for a valedictorian, and he loses to Martin, and he's also pouty. And at the end of the episode, Homer does the fatherly thing in Homer's way. You know, but like he goes into Bart's room and is like, oh, so this class clown, this class leader thing, is he going to get to do anything cool? Is he going to throw out the first pitch? Is he going to make any extra money? It's like, no. Well, let the baby have his bottle. Straightened out Bart. And he goes into Lisa's room, and Lisa didn't want to talk to him. And he's like, yeah, I don't know what it's like to lose somebody because all the people that are important to me are under the roof. And then it's like, well, if you're going to call me monkey, I broke your dollhouse. I could do some monkey work and fix it. And then he fixes everything, you know. So, again, even back then, like, no matter how crazy the problems were, how cornball the situation was, whether it was the parents or the kids doing it to each other. Another example, the Thanksgiving episode where Bart burns Lisa's centerpiece. And in the end, they console each other on the roof, and the parents are thinking, man, you know what? We got good kids. Like, there's always been that dynamic to where family value.
Right.
You know?
What about Bart the Daredevil?
Oh, my God.
Springfield Gorge?
And then Homer takes the jump for him at the very end. He's like, I'm going to make it. No. And every other person that's tried doing Springfield Gorge. Hell, the Family Guy episode with the UFO. We're going to make it.
No,
Homer's like,
no. No, we're not.
Shut up. No, we're not. Boom. Like, it never fails. Even in the movie where they're in the bike and it somehow, I don't think the bike made it.
You don't think so. Did it?
I don't remember. It's been a while.
Gonna have to watch it.
Yeah, gonna have to watch it for anybody that doesn't. Let us know.
There's been a lot of like moments. What was that one episode where Bart tries to get or pretends to be Herbert Wilson for his teacher?
Oh, Mrs. Krabappel.
Yeah, he pretends to be a blind date for her.
Oh,
Woodrow Wilson. Yes, he cuts out a picture of him and everything, and
he's Gordie Howe from the NHL.
Yes, yeah.
He builds her up and then he tears her down and then he finds a way to like validate her so she's not all brokenhearted and shit. That was funny. Yeah.
Just to see her going through like being lonely and everything, that was something you didn't see.
Oh man, Homer had a bucket glued to his head that wound up being removed and he had surgery to fix his eyes. And Dr. Hibbert says, hey, there's this fancy thing out there now that the kids are using medicinal marijuana. It's so much insanity in that episode to where he winds up befriending Mr. Burns because the weed actually made Mr. Burns funny. So when Homer's like getting all these jokes told by Smithers, by Burns, and he's making fun of it, they wind up having a party or something. It was really
Speaking
funny.
Of, what about the episode where Smithers goes on vacation and Homer takes over being Mr. Smithers?
He tries to cook shish kebabs. He sets the thing on fire. He tries to cook something else and he sets on fire. The microwave sets on fire. He tries to pour cereal and milk in a bowl and then the bowl catches on fire.
No, he goes in, the office is on fire and Burns is just sitting there. Just the visual of that.
And then he winds up bringing like donuts and a Krusty Burger coffee, like breakfast is served.
Oh, dude, we could go like hours and hours talking about this.
Who shot Mr. Burns?
Yeah. Dude. It was a season finale, season opener.
Finale and a season premiere, yeah. Did you think it was Maggie when you were watching?
No.
Who did you think?
I don't even know. That was so long ago.
Damn. We can go on and on. Like, if we pulled up the Wikipedia page and explained the synopsis of every episode for the first 10, 12 seasons, we'd already know off the top. Like, we could fill in the blanks. We'd know everything that was going on.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting old in my age. My memory sucks. But, you know, I remember
Homer as Pie Man. And the silhouette of him with the spotlight in the background, and the kids are brushing their teeth, and Bart's like, "Hey, is that Batman?" Or, no, he's like, "Hey, is that Dad?" And then Lisa's like, "Well, either that or fuck, Batman really let himself go."
What about Bartman?
I loved Bartman. Oh, the episode where the kids are saving up to buy Radioactive Man number one, and between
Three Men in a comic or something.
Yeah, between Martin, Milhouse and Bart, they're trying to find a way to keep the comic, and they all wind up staying together the night at the treehouse. And the weather's so bad that the comic just gets destroyed, and all three of them spent $200 between the three of them, and now have nothing.
Yeah,
it's hilarious. Again, great teaching values, saving money.
What about Homer becoming the boxer?
Homer, don't throw a punch. You just let wear them out, let them wear themselves out, and then you go in for the kill. And he beat everybody. And then he gets a fight with Dredrick Tatum.
Was that his first? That was his first episode, right?
Who's?
Dredrick Tatum.
Like Spotlight episode?
Was that his first episode or was already introduced in the show?
He's been introduced before.
Yeah.
There was an episode, old school, I think it was in season 3, where Homer is stealing Cable. And they're building up a Dredrick Tatum fight. And
oh, that's like, right.
Hey,
yeah.
We want to. It's Carl and Lenny and Homer in the showers. It's like, hey, do you want to come to my house and we can listen to the fight on the radio? And it's like, yeah, then we can go to my house and we can watch the post match updates on the news. And then Homer's like, or we can go to my house where I've got it live on pay per view. And he's stealing Cable, and Lisa's like morally against it. So Homer winds up saying, you know what? I'm gonna sit outside and I'm not watching the fight. And after it, I'm cutting it.
What about Wolf Castle?
Oh, I would love to sign an autograph for you in bed.
That was, you know, a couple years ago, someone had spliced together like all the clips of Wolf Castle movies.
Of McBain?
Yeah.
Of McBain. Wolf Castle playing McBain, yeah. And his partner gets shot up and he's like, Mendoza!
Well, yeah, and when they all splice together, it actually makes kind of
a good movie.
Yeah, like a small movie. It's like
if Simpsons ever wants to do a like an animated movie to DVD like Futurama, they have to do a McBain movie. Like legit, do
I'm
a McBain
they
movie.
Haven't, honestly.
Yeah, that's like a character within a character. Like it's okay. Rainier Wilcastle's funny. He has his attitude, but then like when this character is playing this character something else, like the third in third person, is freaking hilarious. Just like Rainier Wolfcastle as Radioactive Man and Milhouse as Fallout Boy. There's a fucking band named after a Simpsons episode, Fallout Boy.
That is true. You know?
Shit. What hasn't been spawned off of The Simpsons, you know, at this point?
Dirt. What about the Homer?
The car. I have the Hot Wheel at home. It's still in the packaging. I haven't messed with it. I bought two of them thinking I was going to open one, and I still haven't gotten the balls to do it yet. No, I don't want to do it. There's a Comic-Con edition where it's like a snow globe, the way it was produced in the episode where it was debuted, and then you press it spins.
Yeah.
And then you press the button and it plays the cucaracha, the horn. It's like $40. I was like, I think I'm taxed next year, maybe, if I find any.
Any other clips, moments that you can think of off the top of your head? Oh
my God.
There's so many, right? Yeah.
Marge going crazy, where she stops in the middle of the street and she winds up having her own vacation away from the family, so Homer's in charge of Maggie because Maggie didn't want to be left behind with Patty and Selma. And then the kids are like, damn, I wish I should have thought of that. So the kids are with Patty and Selma, Homer's raising the baby, and Homer loses the baby, and Homer and Barney are looking for it.
Yeah. What about the episode The Way We Was? It was the flashback of how their high school, the prom between Homer and Marge.
Yeah.
And the, what was the guy's name?
Artie Ziff.
Yeah, Artie Ziff. Yeah. I'm glad you knew that. No, but that was just a good, nice, touching story about how they met up.
I like the flashback stories. Yeah. Maggie's first word was, the whole episode was based on Bart's first word and how they went back in time.
That was a good...
Them
sitting down and looking over photo albums. Oh, man, that was... You don't get episodes like that anymore.
And then they splice it in later on in the episode. Like, they're driving around, and Marge, the wagon gets a flat tire. So Marge is in the desert pushing this flat tire while Homer's sitting out chilling with the kids. Like, oh, well, now that we have some free time, let me continue the story. And they go back into oh, God, their transitions were hilarious. Oh, man.
So... Yeah. Did you enjoy that, Chris?
Yes, thoroughly. I've got to go back and watch some more Simpsons.
Well, if you have, was it FX Now?
FX Now.
FXX Now or something. It's an app for FXX.
Yeah.
The channel. If you just missed it just a few weeks ago, they did
a marathon
of all
everything from the first episode all the way up to the end of season.
Took 12 days.
Nonstop.
Did you watch any of it?
A little bit, the first couple of seasons during the day, because
you can't. I mean, yeah, we have lives.
You can't humanly, even if you're a bum, you can't humanly stay up for 12 days straight.
Yeah,
and watch everything. I tried. I've got the DVDs at home. I've got the first 12, and then 20, because they jumped the shark after, like, somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. 13 and 14, they're like, oh my God, we just reached the 20th anniversary. Let's put that on DVD.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back to the numbers later.
I just have the first season, and I have the movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I got the movie too. Yeah. And I have the limited edition soundtrack, which is in a donut. Like, of course. Open up the box, and there's a donut in there, a plastic donut, and you open up the donut, and the CD's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just waiting for them, once everything's said and done, to do, like, a huge... They can't even do a box set, because that's too many DVDs. They have to do volumes, you know.
Like anthologies?
Yeah,
like the anthologies. First five seasons in one box?
Yeah.
You know, like, I wish I could get one. The Futurama one, I don't know if they updated it with the finished product, but up until they came back with these new seasons on Comedy Central, it was Bender's Head. You open up Bender's Head, and it was the first four seasons and all four movies. All those discs were, like, in one nice little Bender head box.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. The Simpsons seasons, I don't have them all, because I stopped after a while. From season six up, it's somebody's head.
Yeah.
Like, season six is Homer's, and then Marge, then Lisa, then Maggie, and then Bart, and then Krusty, and then Comic Book Guy, and then the alien head, and then Ralph, and then Otto. Is one, and I think that's where they stopped that right now with 15. And 20 wasn't a hit, it was just a separate thing because it was 20th anniversary or 20th season.
And you don't have any of those with the heads on them?
The new ones, no, because at the time they're expensive, dude.
What is it? Is it just like a
it's a collectible.
Is it just a plasticable?
It's a plastic head case, and you open the case from the middle, and the head folds down, and there's the little thing, the tray.
So it folds down.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, so it folds down, and you can like a shell.
Wouldn't it be weird to like have it like a part of your like? Everybody puts their DVDs like bookend, right?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
It's weird. Yeah.
See, that's what turned me off of even trying to get those DVDs. It's like, I don't know.
Now I'm 8 heads in.
Are you?
And now that they don't make them anymore, because they are limited edition, they're collectibles. So once they don't make the heads anymore, after that first run, they're done. So I've been trying to find Ralph. I've been trying to find Otto. And I think I'm just trying to find the alien one. Because again, we talked about it earlier. After a certain season, it dropped off to us. There aren't as many memorable episodes as the old ones were, to where I have to have this on DVD. Mm-hmm. So it stopped. But
the only reason I don't have more seasons is because I'm a cheapskate. Money's money, man.
Yeah. like the Simpsons DVDs, sometimes they'll go on sale the seasons for like $15-$20. Those limited edition heads, though, hell no. They're going to be $49 till the cows come home. Those never go on sale.
Let's go to eBay or Amazon, maybe.
Or even get used ones. At this point, I have them. I started buying the seasons after like 8 or 9 because I was using iTunes, and I converted them to video, and they're almost seamless. Like, I can convert them seamlessly to M4V files, so I can have them on my iPad and on my iTunes. So after a while, I stopped buying them, and I just used my Blockbuster membership, and I just got a DVD from the season. I got one DVD, copied it, took it to the store, got a movie, and then when I finished with the movie, I took it back to the store, and then they would mail me the next disc of the season. And that's how I kept up with some of the other ones that I'm missing. I have them, an episode on my hard drive, but I don't have the physical head decapitation to go with the collection of the rest of my decapitations.
And you call yourself a fan.
I'm coming back.
What are you going to do, right? All right. Well, I think on that note, I think we've summed up all we could. I mean, we could go on. I mean, we can go marathon mode if you want.
What's marathon mode?
Yeah, I'll explain to you later.
Okay.
After 12 days.
Yeah.
So did you enjoy this episode, Chris?
Oh, hell yeah. We were struggling to figure out what we were going to do next. Like, we were taking down notes for certain topics, and we were just hitting writer's block and roadblock. And then after the Simpsons episode came, I was like, wait, you guys want to do Simpsons? And then when we agreed, I was like a kid in a candy store. I was waiting for this day on the calendar on my phone, because I don't have a paper calendar. I was waiting for this day to come so that we can talk Simpsons and go back to being
a kid. And the day came, you're like, I don't want to record today. Let's come back 2 days in a row.
Oh, well, my girlfriend was persuading me otherwise, so I cannot come and cancel again. But no, I had to put my foot down. Now I'm going to go put something else down. So, and on that note...
All right, thanks again for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Again, you can catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, or you can go to our website, popculturerewind.podbean.com. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/popculturerewind. So let us know what you think. Throw us some suggestions for other shows. If you think we suck, let us know. If you have other ideas for other episodes, let us know. We'll be glad to indulge possibilities. So. Yeah. But again, thanks for tuning in. Until next time, we'll catch you later. And always pop your culture.
Yeah.
That's the best you can do. Yeah. All these quotes from Simpsons, just that was an easy one. It was all you had to do was just...
Was what? Goodbye, everybody.
There you go. Oh, God, you make this so complicated sometimes.
Somebody's got to bust your balls.
That's you, jerk.
And a 1, and a 2, and a 3.
Boom, boom, boom.
Baby on board, how I'm adored. That sign on my car's window pane. Bounce in my stem, loaded with hep. 'Cause I'm driving in the car. My baby on board.
thank you on behalf of the group, and I hope we pass the audition.
I don't get it.